Let's turn to 1 Samuel chapter 17. I'm doing okay, just I don't have much stability in my legs, so I usually have to hold a little bit on. I'm not like Brother Eddie here. He almost ran up the stairs and all that. So thank you so much. First time here. You know, the story of David is probably one of the most known, best known stories in the whole Old Testament. And there are some very, very great lessons here. And you know something? I don't think that David, he was the only man that was capable of doing, of defeating Goliath. Just that he was the only one that was willing to surrender to God to do something like that. And the high point in this story, I don't think that that was really the defeating of Goliath, but the high point was somebody surrendering to God, and then God using that person to defeat Goliath and all of the Philistines. So that's the whole thing in the mission work. You know, if you approach a missions conference or started today, there's always a lot of things that we have to overcome. And you know, the devil wants to control us by many things, but we always have to work on our faith that will help us to overcome things. And here when we see David's faith, there's a few things that we can learn from him in our own life. You know, as I look in my life, the devil has always wanted to, with fear, try to stop me from surrendering to God to do the things that God wants me to do. That's always been. We've been there in Chihuahua a lot of years, but I struggled very much with fear before I surrendered to God to go there. You know, I'm not going to go into that, but they had done a lot of things. I grew up a Mennonite there. And praise God that he saved me and saved me out of that. But there was a lot of fears that I have had to conquer during the years to do God's will. The same here with David. So the evidence of faith of David, the first thing, we'll start there in verse 31 in 1 Samuel chapter 17 in verse 31. The first thing that it does, that fear blocks, that faith blocks out fear. You know, I think every Christian is bothered with fear. But you know, we don't have to so much work on overcoming fear. I think we just have to work on increasing our faith, and then our faith will block out that fear. Not that we won't have fear, but we will overcome it because our faith in God is greater than anything, than our fear for whatever man could do to us. And that's so easy. And the Bible says that God, he had not given us the spirit of fear. But still, in the Bible, as you may have heard, the Bible says that phrase, fear not or do not fear, is mentioned about 365 times in the Bible, one for every day of the year. So we always have to, by faith, overcome that fear. You know, like in Mexico, and prices go up and wages don't go up, and mission conferences approaches, and there's always even Christians that have fear because what are they going to do with their faith promise? They won't have enough. And then so many Christians there, they spend every penny they earn plus a few more, and they grow into debt all the time. And now I have to pay off debt and all this. And then they try to figure out, how can I increase my faith promise? Even if last year I had big problems fulfilling my faith promise, and now being challenged to raise it even, that's a fear, but we can need to overcome it. So faith blocks out fear. There in verse 31, we'll start there in verse 31 in 1 Samuel chapter 17, and what the Bible says. First, go back and read verse 24 there in chapter 17. look at all Israel, and all the men of Israel, when they saw the man, fled from him, look, and were sore afraid. See, Israel was not in the caves hidden because they were already overcome. That was not because they couldn't overcome, but because they had fear, and their fear defeated them. That was not even the Philistines. They had not even fought with them. So the fear overcomes people. The fear that we let us come into our lives, the same when we're faced with serving God and winning souls like we have heard today. There's so many times, you know, if you've talked to that person and last time they didn't want to hear, what are they going to say now? And then fear comes in and what's going to happen? You know, and so many times people, and they're dominated by their fear and they rather do not do what God wants us to do. They're defeated by their fear. This means if they sore afraid, this means that they were cast down emotionally and physically. Nobody had cast Israel down but their own fear. You know, I read once a story when they go to Africa and try to catch a wild elephant. They want to tame that elephant. They tie him with a big chain on their feet. And the elephant tries to get loose, and he can't. And one day, the elephant gives up fighting, and from there on, they can tie him with something that he could easily break, but he never tries it again, according to the story I read. So I haven't gone to Africa and tried it, but that's what I read, you know. And that's so many times with people. We are sure that we cannot do something for God and we haven't even tried it. So that means we are defeated in our mind. Our faith is so weak that we do not even try to do what God wants. We do not increase our faith. We do not go out and win souls because our fear has cast us down like Israel. Israel was not defeated because of the battle, but because of their fear. Their fear had defeated them. And it's the devil's work to try to bring fear into the Christian's life, and that way he won't even have to fight us, but he will keep us from doing God's work because he has conquered us by putting fear in our lives. Do you have fear for anything? Do we do what God wants us to do? And especially missionaries, they go to different countries, different people, different places they have never been. And then what's the language going to be? Is it going to be difficult? What's the culture going to be? How are they going to receive us? And sometimes there's persecution and everything. I'm sure the devil works with fear and wants to try to keep them from going where God wants them to because of fear, what lays ahead of them. So for one time, and you know, usually, we're not hidden in a cave like Israel was hidden in caves here. But usually we have material things that we use as a cave. And you know, it's so difficult for so many Christians to try to give some of the material things to God because maybe we have put us in a position where we use every dollar that we make. And we can barely make it. Now we are faced of raising our faith promise or even starting a faith promise. And then we are afraid, how can I do this? That's just impossible. Or much less if I've given my $5 a week and I barely made it last week. Now try to increase it. That's kind of difficult. But you know, the fear, the faith that blocked out fear. Look at David on the other hand. The first on one side, Israel was dominated by fear and they were hidden in caves where they couldn't come and do what God wanted to. But there was this one lad that had faith in God, and God used that boy to do things that anybody could do if they had surrendered to God. You know, those missionaries that go to the mission field, that doesn't mean that they're the only ones capable of going. But those are the only ones surrendered to do God's will. But everybody, anybody, if you think that God wants you to, we don't have to sit there, well, how am I going to do it? And how am I going to learn the language? And how am I going to survive? And I don't want to go for years and visit churches and all that. See, that's the fear that's keeping us back. Here, David, he had really had faith in God. Look at verse 32 there in chapter 17. It says, and David said to Saul, let no man's heart fail because of him. Thy servant will go and fight with the Philistines. What was David's faith? His faith was opposite to the fear of even the king. Even King David, King Saul, tried to discourage him. You can't go and face that giant. He's been a man of war all his life, and you, but a young lad, how do you think that you can do that? That was not the faith of the big David, but that was the work of the big God that the small David believed in. That's the difference. When we can trust God and we believe God, then, you know, and there's a marvelous thing. The book of Haggai, you know, Israel, they were forbidden, they were brought out of captivity to build a house of God. That was their purpose. You can read the book of Ezra, and there it makes it very, very clear. And now they had opposition. And as soon as they had opposition, the Bible says they forced them to stop building the house. But they didn't stop building. Now everybody went and were busy in building their own houses. And the Bible says in the book of Haggai chapter 1 twice that everybody is building their own houses. And it says twice, my house is waste. My house is a desert. And you know, when the prophet Haggai and the prophet Zacharias were sent, they preached and preached to them in the Bible. And that short two chapters of the book of Haggai, God promised Israel about 14 times that the Lord of hosts will be with them. And the Bible says, and then they start working. As soon as the prophets convinced them that the Lord of hosts, much bigger beyond any imagination than the host against them, all the enemies of the people against them, God with his host was way unimaginably above. And when they were convinced of that, then they start working. Didn't Jesus promise those that were sent into all the world to preach the gospel and make disciples that he would be with them until the end of the world? He didn't promise until the end of their life. He promised to the end of the world. So if you go to the end of the world, as I have commanded you, I'll be with you to the end of the world. You know, one time I was in San Antonio, Texas, preaching, and in the morning sessions, there was this pastor, and he came and gave us some lessons. He said, you only need one thing to go to the mission field, because we were pastors and missionaries there. And you know, through the years, I had heard so many things. You need this and you need that. You need here and there. And now this pastor comes and says, you only need one thing. How is that possible? And he kept on lecturing us, and he didn't say what thing that was. And I started my mind, what do you do? What do you have to be able to fly, or being sarcastic, or walk in the air, or what's that one big magical thing? And all of a sudden he said, you only need to come to the place where God answers your prayers and you can go. Because where would you ever be, and what need would you ever have that God cannot provide and supply if you go in obedience to him? Oh, man. That's so hard for me to be convinced of that. I always think I need so many things. I need this, and I need so much support, and you never have that. But But you always have God if you obeyed Him. His faith. Verse 32, His faith could not be shaken by others. 33, it says, and Saul said to David, Thou art not able to go against that Philistine to fight with him, for thou art but a youth, and he a man of war from his youth. So even King Saul, instead of encouraging this boy that wanted to obey God and try to do his will, but try to bring him down. No, you can't, David. You can't. If it's about going to the world or giving to missions or praying and going soul winning, do you ever hear anybody talking to you? No, you can't. That's not for you. You're not called. You don't have enough money. Do you ever hear anybody speaking to you? No, you can't do that. That's too big of a task. Oh, yes. We probably all do. Unless we just plainly convinced that we're not going to even try. But if there's a small desire, a small disposition in us to obey God, the devil will come and even other people. No, you can't. You cannot do that. That's what they did to David. But David's faith was bigger and stronger than all that. He went anyhow. His faith blocked out the fear that even people wanted to bring into him. Verse 34 through 36, his faith was strengthened with past victories. There he tells Saul about when he was feeding those sheep of his father, and when there was a bear come and catch one of the small ones, or a lion, how he would face them. You know how he would face those and take and slay them and take the small ones from him. You know, and he relates, and those past victories for God, they convinced him of this possible present victory. You know, that's one of the marvelous things about faith promise. If you do that, that strengthens your faith. And if you're in a tough situation financially, you can go back in years past and say, God, look at all these years you've been faithful. All these years you've provided. All these years when I didn't think that that was possible. You brought me through and you blessed beyond any imagination. God, and those past victories will give you strength, your faith to continue and go through this present victory. When you don't know how to do it, how to increase your faith promise, how to do this, how to obey God, you can go back like David. You know, God will do it again like he did. He has done so many times in the past. You know, that helped so many times when you're on the field and you don't have anything. You don't have, most of the churches didn't send anything this month, you know. And you have things that you have to pay. And you still want to keep up your faith promise. And you have radio ministry to pay. And you have this. And you have bills to pay. And how are you going to do it? There's no human way possible. Then you just have to go to God's word. And you have to strengthen your faith in God. And go and remind you of the past victories. Of how many times, untold times, you've been in that same situation. And God always brought you through. He will do it again. He will do it again. Oh, his past victories helped them overcome the fear. But if you never try faith promise, how can we go to past victories when there hardly isn't any? That's why we need to do that. In verse 37, look at that. It says that where his faith was, David said, Moreover, the Lord had delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear. He will deliver me out of the hand of this Philistine. And Saul said unto David, Go, and the Lord be with thee. You know, his faith was not in his slaying or even in the stones. His faith was in the Lord God. He sent me, and he can keep me. You know, the God that sent me, isn't he isn't he able to finance the enterprise that we do if he sent us? Isn't he able to? I have missionaries, friends that have gotten bitter because some churches stopped supporting them. I said, friend, it was God. If we say that was God that sent us, then God will keep us. I know he wants to use churches, but our faith must be in God, must be in the highest, and the Lord Jesus Christ. He saved us. He called us. He sent us there, if we are convinced of that. Now, he will sustain us. He has promised that. And his amazing promises, when you think of his promise, that always blow your minds. You know, one of the promises that has always helped me is Jeremiah 33:3. Call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. Ephesians 3:20. And there's thousands of promises in the Bible. How can we ever? So we need to fill our heart and our mind with promises, and then we can go on. Our faith needs to block out fear like it did with David. Don't hesitate. I can't. Just trust God. Learn to strengthen our faith in God. And he'll do what we cannot do. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your word. Thank you for your blessings. Thank you for your marvelous, marvelous promises. Help me to begin with to believe them and continue doing what you want us to do.